Time now for the 12:15 news, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft furniture. Today's WFIW WOKZ weather forecast calls for a 60% chance for rain with a high of 82. Tonight, clear with a low of 59. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting the news. The Wayne City Village Board met this week and approved repairs on roads in the village, with the biggest project beginning immediately for a portion of Section Line Road. Several loads of rock will be put on the roadway and ground down, giving it time to settle before the roads are oiled in August. Other streets, including Smith and Shasta, will be done in the same way but in shorter sections. The board decided to wait one more month to approve a quote for new pumps, as it was uncertain if the current quote includes a kit to help with flushable wipes. The cost will be about $22,000 to $26,000, and the decision to make changes for 8 houses will be made in July. More news next.
Don't let concerns about current events derail your long-term financial strategy. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Abby Mawson, and I'm here to help. We can work together to understand today's financial landscape and make sure you achieve your goals. While you can't control market volatility, you can control your financial future. Let's connect. Start by giving me a call at 618-842-4696. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Finding the right specialist for your orthopedic needs just got easier. Wabash General Hospital offers non-surgical and conservative treatments, including physical therapy, as well as minimally invasive surgeries like total joint replacement or tendon repair. Also spinal conditions, herniated discs, and scoliosis. Wabash General Hospital is committed to combining passion and knowledge to heal. Call today, 618-263-6400. That's 618-263-6400.
In other news, no injuries were reported in a single vehicle crash Saturday morning in far northwestern Wayne County. According to county deputies, at approximately 1:46, 51-year-old Reinard resident Robert L. Kohler was northbound on a county highway in a 2004 Chevrolet. He exited the roadway, crossed back over the road on the other side, and hit a ditch. Kohler was cited for leaving the scene of an accident and failure to report an accident. The vehicle sustained less than $500 damage. Interstate 57 at the Dix Interchange Overpass was closed for 7 hours yesterday following a four-semi collision, and it reopened at approximately 7:30. No official report was available immediately following the collision, but the Jefferson Fire Protection District indicated 3 southbound semis had slowed for construction activity on the Dix-Irvington Road overpass, but a fourth could not and set off a chain reaction crash. The drivers all appeared to avoid injury. 2 semis were driven from the scene, and another was towed. The final truck was hauling kitty litter and had to be unloaded due to the amount of damage to its trailer before being towed away itself. Wayne County Crime Stoppers is offering a reward for information leading to the arrest of the person or persons who recently entered a cabin belonging to Anna Johnston. A Rossi 410 shotgun, compound crossbow, and Dell laptop computer were reported stolen. Additionally, a residence in Johnsonville had several items taken, including pictures, top-load washing machine, clothes dryer, subs inside a wooden box, cooler, hand tools and toolbox, a Derringer 22 pistol, and Ruger 9mm semi-automatic pistol. Anyone with information should call or text Crime Stoppers at 842-9777. FNB and Wayne County Quilts of Valor will hold a presentation ceremony this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Fairfield First Christian Church. 36 local veterans will be presented quilts, and light refreshments will be served. Sims SOS and Friends will sponsor a benefit dinner and auction for Wayne and Tammy Thomason this Friday at 5 o'clock at the Wayne City Community Building. The Thomasons lost their home, belongings, and pets in late April when lightning struck their kitchen area and started a fire. A meal consisting of chicken or pork chops, cheesy potatoes, green beans, roll, dessert, and drink will be available by donation, and a silent auction will follow with a 50-50 drawing. Many people are again calling for action on gun control in the wake of recent shootings in Texas, Oklahoma, and around the country, including U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. He spoke recently about weapons like assault rifles being in the hands of the general public and called on people to have their voices heard in the upcoming election.
And the AR-15, make no mistake, is not a sport rifle. It's not a hunting rifle. It is a deadly military weapon. What can we do about it? Well, first off, there is no excuse for Congress not acting. The American people, if you don't get the right response, need to respond in the election in November. That's what a democracy is all about. Elect people who really care about gun safety.
In the past week, there have been mass shootings in Michigan, Arizona, Tennessee, and Pennsylvania. The Fairfield City Council held a special meeting last night to elect an acting mayor in the wake of the passing of elected Mayor Mike Dreith. Per ordinance, aldermen nominated one of their own number to fill the seat. Alderman Gary Moore was nominated to serve as acting mayor and was approved by a 7-0 vote. Acting Mayor Moore was sworn into the office by City Attorney Darren Rice and declared he will vote as a mayor in city council meetings, meaning he will only vote to break ties or when a supermajority is needed. He will serve in the role until the April 2023 election, at which time someone will be elected to fill the remainder of Mayor Dreith's intended term. Prior to the vote, City Clerk Tina Hutchcraft said the city would continue to offer prayers for the Dreith family, and she thanked the late mayor for his service and zeal. Christy Horning and Jill Andrews addressed the council with public comments. Horning spoke on Dreith's tenure as mayor and the sometimes tumultuous relationship he had with the council, saying some members appeared to enjoy adding an element of surprise to their votes at council meetings. Andrews spoke on Dreith's projects and asked the council not to undo what the mayor worked to achieve. Upon being sworn in, Acting Mayor Moore said nobody was looking to undo what had been done, and he said the city had seen a rough past few days with the passing of the mayor, community pillar and press co-owner Preston Matthews, and former alderman Jim Griffith. He said he will work with everyone openly and honestly, and looks forward to continuing to take the city forward. In other action, the council authorized the signature of the acting mayor to bank accounts, and designated him as an authorized agent for the IMRF. It also approved a new 3-year FOP contract after failing to do so in the past 2 meetings. Some contract changes include an expansion of residency requirements to a 45-minute radius from the police department in an effort to attract a larger applicant pool. The next contract cannot include another residency expansion, and the current contract will also include a 12% pay increase in its 3 years. Aldermen Dewey Eckleberry and Eugene McGill voted no. Fairfield Memorial Hospital's Board of Directors, Administration, Foundation, volunteers, and staff have invited the public to attend an open house for the new FMH Surgical Pavilion this Sunday, beginning at 2 p.m. Visitors will be able to tour a new skilled care unit on the 3rd floor, surgical specialties office on the 2nd floor, and new emergency department, urgent care, and 2 new surgical suites on the 1st floor. The dedication ceremony will begin Sunday at 2, and tours will be given following the ceremony until 5. Light refreshments will be served in the FMH Cafe, and each attendee will be given a commemorative bag. The cafe will be closed for lunch and dinner Sunday to allow staff to prepare and serve refreshments during the open house. Beginning Monday, FMH will begin moving into the new area, and more information on the offices will be forthcoming on the hospital Facebook page. Anyone with questions can call administration at 847-8242 or 847-8243. FMH CEO Catherine Bunting Williams says the hospital is excited the date has finally arrived. When the project began, no one could have predicted the pandemic, supply and workforce shortages, and other challenges that have arisen since groundbreaking in November 2019. She says the opening on Phase 1 of the project is the culmination of hard work, perseverance, and a desire to expand the services provided to the community. Edwards County Commissioners met Monday at the County Courthouse. Commissioners discussed updates on the county solar ordinance, and the state's attorney will draft a revised ordinance for approval at their next meeting on July 1st. Setbacks will be changed from 500 feet to 200 feet from a property line containing a residence. Draft copies will be available prior to the meeting. In other action, commissioners unanimously approved a lease renewal for the West Salem EMS facility and a contract for AIM software for the EMS. They also approved a liquor license renewal for Homestead Vineyards in West Salem. The County Highway Department presented a building plan at the meeting, but commissioners took no action and will revisit the matter next month. In the County Health Office report, the health nurse reported COVID cases in the county are ticking back up and encouraged people to be cautious. The IDPH reported 4 new cases of COVID-19 in Wayne, Wabash, Lawrence, and Jefferson counties yesterday. Marion County added 9 cases, and Clay, Richland, and Hamilton counties added 2. Edwards and White counties held steady on the state website. As a state, Illinois announced 4,861 new cases and 18 additional deaths. As of Sunday night, about 1,200 COVID patients were hospitalized. That number has been increasing, but it's well below the 7,300-plus peak the state hit in January, per Governor J.B. Pritzker.
As you know, one of the big differences between a year ago and several months ago and now is we have widespread availability of treatments. So if people do get sick from COVID, well, you can have your doctor prescribe it to you, and specifically within the first 5 days of feeling symptoms.
The governor says the COVID hospitalization rate is a key indicator in determining if any restrictions need to be reimplemented. The Wayne County Board will meet Thursday at 7 in the upstairs courtroom of the courthouse. SIEDA is requesting an appointment to its board of directors to replace Royce Carter, as the matter was tabled last month. And the Wayne County Housing Authority has requested the reappointment of Doyle Hucker to a 5-year term on its board. It's also set to hear from Gatsby's Gaming regarding operational hours and from Snedeker Risk Management on an update on the Hope Trust. Following office reports, the board will move to new business. It will hold a new ARPA discussion on the application process and the formation of the ARPA committee following discussions in the past 2 months. The Wayne County Housing Authority has sent a letter explaining a request to reduce their payment, and board members will discuss the matter. The Wayne County Humane Society is again set to discuss their contract. The contract was also on last month's agenda, but no one from the society attended the meeting, and a skeleton board did not have the necessary information to take action. Following committee reports, the board is scheduled to enter executive session to discuss personnel before adjourning for the night. Corn planting in Illinois is nearly complete, as we hear in the latest statewide weekly crop report with Kim Howard.
After nearly 6 days suitable for field work this past week, 95% of corn acres have been planted, says crop statistician Mark Scheusener.
That is even with 1 year ago and 6 points ahead of normal planting pace. 89% of corn acres have emerged compared to 80 normally. The Illinois corn condition improved from 1 week ago and was rated 1% poor, 18 fair, and 81% good to excellent.
88% of soybean acres are now planted.
That compares to 78 for the 5-year average. 75% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 63 normally. The first condition rating for soybeans this year shows 2% of soybean acres in poor condition, 16 fair, 68 good, and 14% of Illinois soybean acres are in excellent shape.
97% of winter wheat has headed, and 77% is rated in good to excellent condition. Average statewide topsoil moisture came in at 1% very short, 9% short, 84% adequate, and 6% surplus. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
Bill Bodine with the Illinois Farm Bureau says the organization is collaborating with the Township Officials of Illinois for a permit template for local governments.
We've been working with the Township Officials of Illinois on a permit template for utility installation projects, and a lot of this is focused on broadband. When a broadband project gets proposed, the developer of that project or the contractor that's working for them is supposed to get a permit from whoever the road authority is if they're going to install that, say, fiber optic line or telecommunications equipment in the road right-of-way. We do often see some conflict, unfortunately, because in the state of Illinois, if a road was developed by an easement way back when, then the contractor is also supposed to get an easement from the landowner. The landowner continues to own that area for anything outside of road use purposes, and that leads to conflict. So we worked with the Township Officials of Illinois to develop a permit template that, say, a road commissioner could use that kind of lays out all the details and will hopefully help, you know, by putting it down on paper, will help kind of reduce that conflict.
He stresses the document is only a template and can be adjusted as needed for specific needs. Templates can be found at toi.org. That's the news. Area deaths next.
From Whitey Ball to Tony La Russa, and now Oliver Marmol. It has always been about the Cardinal way.
It's about entertaining the fans and winning championships. This year, the Cardinals are trying for their 12th championship, and we'll be with you describing every hit,
every home run,
every strikeout,
every double play, and every win.
Cardinals baseball right here on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Here on 105.9 WOKZ Fairfield.
Currently in Fairfield, it's 79 degrees. Time now for the stock market report.
brought to you by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones representative, located at 101 East Delaware Street in Fairfield. The Dow is at 32,937, down 242 points. The NASDAQ is at 12,097, down 77 and a quarter. The current price of crude is $112.41 per barrel, down 9 cents since this morning. I'm Jeremy Smith for WFIW News.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 78-year-old Mill Shoals resident Patsy Ann Young died on June 5th. Patsy Young is survived by her husband Buddy, daughter Michelle, one sister, and several nephews and cousins. Services will be Monday at 10 at Shrewsbury Cemetery. Nails Funeral Home is assisting the family. 106-year-old Grace Sullivan died on May 30th. Services will be Thursday at 3 at Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 1 to service time, and burial will be in Maple Hill Cemetery. 58-year-old Fairfield resident Trudy K. Jones died on May 30th. Services will be Friday at 2 at Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 1 to service time. 82-year-old Flora resident Marilyn Ann Booth died in November. Services will be Saturday at 11 at Xenia Christ United Church. 34-year-old Springerton resident Julie Marie Curtis died on Friday. Visitation will be today from 1 to 4 at Campbell Funeral Home in Cormai. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting.
Are you tired of heavy menstrual cycles? There's nothing normal about heavy bleeding. What if you could undergo an office procedure to stop heavy bleeding and return to work in just days? Ask the doctors at Asbury & Associates about NovaSure Ablation. This non-invasive procedure is performed in our office, reducing the cost for our patients. NovaSure, a quick, safe, and simple procedure to correct your heavy cycles and restart your life. Asbury & Associates, with locations in Southern Illinois to serve you.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Time for a Wednesday check of sports. In MLB action last night, it was the Rays over the Cardinals 4-2 in 10 innings. White Sox 4, Dodgers 0. Orioles 9, Cubs 3. Guardians 6, Rangers 3 in game 1 of the doubleheader. Yankees 10, Twins 4. Astros 4, Mariners 1. Blue Jays 7, Royals 0. Red Sox 6, Angels 5. That one finished in 10 innings. Rangers 6, Guardians 3 in game 2 of the doubleheader. Reds 14, Diamondbacks 8. Marlins 12, Nationals 2. Phillies 3, Brewers 2. Padres 7, Mets 0. Rockies 5, Giants 3. Tigers 5, Pirates 3. And the Braves over the Athletics 3-2. In the NHL playoffs last night, the Lightning tie up their series with the Rangers with a 4-1 victory. That series, again, is tied at 2 games apiece. The Longhorns and the Sooners are kicking off this year's Women's College World Series. Texas takes on top-seeded Oklahoma Wednesday night in the opening game of their best-of-3 series in Oklahoma City. The Longhorns became the first unseeded team in NCAA history to make the finals after beating Oklahoma State in the semifinal. The Sooners are looking to defend their title after beating Florida State in last year's tournament. The NBA Finals will move to Boston tonight as the Celtics prepare to host the Warriors for Game 3. The Celtics were able to steal Game 1 on the road before the Warriors stormed back to take Game 2 in San Francisco. Steph Curry led the Warriors with 29 points in the win in Game 2, while Jason Tatum scored 28 in the loss. It's the first time Boston has had a home game in the NBA Finals since 2010. Here's the schedule for today. in MLB action. It'll be the Cardinals at the Rays. You can listen to that one on our sister station, WOKZ 105.9. John Bruni takes the air at 5:15 later tonight. Cubs at the Orioles, Dodgers at the White Sox, Blue Jays at the Royals, Mariners at the Astros, Rangers at the Guardians, Yankees at the Twins, Red Sox at the Angels, Diamondbacks at the Reds, Nationals at the Marlins, Phillies at the Brewers, Mets at the Padres, Rockies at the Giants, Tigers at the Pirates, and the Athletics are at the Braves. That is a Wednesday check of sports.
The Wabash Roots and Q Festival comes your way on Saturday, June 18th, featuring Mel Tillis Jr., Dennis Stromat, and much more. Free parking, admission, and free entertainment. Visit Roots and Q, that's Roots, the letter N, Q-U-E.com, for event details.
I'm Kyler Gammon, and here's your Classic Hits WFIW 104.9 FM forecast. Today, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 10 a.m., increasing clouds with a high near 81. Tonight, a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 7 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 58. Thursday, sunny with a high near 80. Thursday night, a 20% chance of showers after 1 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 61.
The daytime.